I'm here with Mary Bevere, the interim RMCHCS CEO, Valerie Wengler, the chief medical officer of RMCH, and with Rhonda Ray of Marketing and Public Relations. Hello, all.
Hello.
Hello.
So I was looking at an insert in the recent edition of the Gallup Sun. Has a big bio on Mary Bevere and talks about a planning grant that Dr. Wengler received recently or is in the process of receiving. Before we go too far along, Val, did you want to talk a little about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that RMCHCS is really committed to is helping to train the next generation of providers and hospital staff in general to be able to take care of our patients and community years and years into the future. So as part of that, we have applied for and achieved accreditation for a family medicine residency program. So that will train 4 physicians per year. It's a total of a 3-year program to serve as primary care physicians in our community. And then the planning grant that you mentioned is for an initial look into what it would take for RMCHCS and the Gallup community to have a psychiatric residency. And again, we recognize that behavioral health is a significant need for the community. And as part of our long-term plans to be able to better meet that need, we would love to be able to train psychiatrists and behavioral health providers here locally as well.
Mary, you come from a background as a financial maven. How does that translate into your role as interim CEO for RMCHCS?
So, great question. Thank you for taking time for us today. I wanted to make sure that you that I recognize that you're really busy, and we really appreciate you taking time to talk to us because there's a lot of great things happening here at Rehoboth. I do have over 20 years of finance experience. I have always said that I am not the typical finance person. I am operationally mindseted in relation to how tied operations is with finance. And I moved to New Mexico in 2010 and really recognized that being in the accounting department wasn't something that was my plan long term. This is my second stint, so to speak, as an interim CEO. And I'm just thankful that I'm here and able to help the organization heal and move forward over the last several months of trying times that they've experienced.
Without making this conversation all about David Conejo, can you share any issues that you are in the process of working on to move out of the concerns and problems left by Mr. Conejo's tenure?
I think the most impactful thing that we've done in the last 2 weeks, I think this might be our third week of a significant focus on employee rounding. The administrative council members round on employees in every single department throughout the entire organization. And the goal is for one of the admin members to be in every department once every 2 weeks. And so I think that's been one of the most impactful things that we've done to really understand where everybody sits in relation to all of the feelings that needed to be worked through, not just from the protest that was going on, but also just from taking care of COVID patients in a really difficult environment with the high number of cases that we had here. There's a lot of feelings that still need to be worked through with David leaving. You know, he's done a lot of great things for our organization, and it's sometimes difficult for employees to wrap their head around reasons why leadership changes. And so the main focus that we've been trying to do is let employees have a voice, let them have a method of sharing concerns, let administration have a method of showing to those employees that we're here for them. Their safety is a big focus of ours, as well as patient care. That's our first priority. So I think that's been one of the most impactful things that we've done.
We did have state resources and federal resources allotted to setting up temporary care facilities such as at Miyamura High School. Those have now been disbanded, broken down, materials and equipment recycled. Do you think that removing those facilities was somewhat premature given the situation in Arizona, for instance?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a really great question. You know, the thing that is so challenging about COVID-19 is, again, you know, we've never experienced anything quite like this before. It's very difficult to predict. It's hard to know what's coming next. But I will tell you that as far as the alternative care facility, our organization, Indian Health Service, and the state partners worked really closely and really carefully monitored the numbers and the trends, and felt confident that at this point within the local hospitals, we have the capacity to take care of patient volumes. If there is a second surge or a second time when there's a high number of patients, we feel very prepared to care for that internally. So I think that the alternative care facility at Miyamura was a really good success. It was a really great partnership between those organizations, between the school district, which was immensely helpful in letting us utilize those facilities. And I'm glad that we're at a place where all the projections that we have indicate that for our region, that most acute need is hopefully behind us, but that we feel like we have the capacity within the hospitals to care for patients. I always say I think that COVID remains a really big threat, and any chance I have to speak with the community, I think we just have to continue to reinforce that the social distancing, the wearing the masks, all those pieces that have become sort of normal life continue to be really essential and really incredibly important. So I do certainly encourage everybody, please, I know it's been a long time and it's challenging, but it's really important that we continue to adhere to that guidance and follow those recommendations so that we don't end up needing it again. But so far, the projections look like it was the right decision to go ahead and move forward from the alternative care facilities.
Can you share with me any ongoing changes in how you're better protecting your essential workers at RMCHCS?
There are a couple of really important changes. I think one of the most critical things, and as you were talking about things that have changed, to me, one of the real, one of the most critical things is our staffing situation. And we are much better staffed. We have the staff that we need in the places that we need them. And the reason that that's important from a staff protection perspective is that when a nurse is caring for a limited number of COVID patients, that nurse has time to make sure that they're attending to all the details of taking on and off the personal protective equipment, which is a real process. It's more challenging, I think, than people might think when they just see people in those gowns. But you really have to do it all carefully and in the right order and take your time. And so when we're able to have our nurses caring for fewer COVID patients, for each nurse or each tech or respiratory therapist, that makes a really big difference in terms of exposure risk. As CDC guidelines have changed and continue to change, we continue to meet that and to change the personal protective equipment that's recommended, in terms of which masks are recommended in which areas. So the team has done, I think, a phenomenal job of staying really up to date on what those recommendations are. And I think that as the world learns more about this infection, we have the knowledge to continue to improve and do that better.
This is Mary. I think I would add maybe that when it comes to the personal protective equipment, we continue to fight, so to speak, with every other hospital in the United States because there's still shortages. And we hope that the suppliers out there, I know they're working really hard, but we hope that we can get ahead of this crunch that continues to be in existence so that we can feel more comfortable there. Now, as I say that, I want to make sure that you know that we have what we need. All of our employees are safe. We have the masks, the gowns, all of the equipment that we need. But it does still continue to be a fight, and we've reached out to as many organizations and legislatures that we can speak to in order to help us to make sure that everyone's aware that it's still an issue across the U.S.
Are there any procedures in place now for sanitizing and reusing the N95 masks, for example?
Yeah, great question. We're fortunate that we are not in a position that we have to reuse N95s. We are not doing any of those re-sterilization procedures right now for those masks.
This is Mary. We do have the procedures that we've received and are contemplating setting it up because you just never know when we will run into difficulties. And so our goal is to stay ahead of the issues and not react to them when they occur.
There appears to be more and more testing available in the area. There have been announcements of testing at various chapters here in town, et cetera. And of course, RMCH has testing, has remote consultation available. You recently changed procedures for screening and intake of COVID-19 patients, I think through the emergency department.
Gallup was one of the first places in the state to offer drive-up testing, both with Indian Health Service and here at RMCH. And it's proven really valuable. You know, one of the best methods that we have for fighting COVID as a society is, easy availability of testing. And we're happy to be able to continue to provide that. So we've moved our COVID clinic, where we do the drive-up testing, to our urgent care site, and that allows us to utilize some of the existing resources at urgent care and to make the drive-up process a little bit easier for patients, make things run a little bit more quickly and efficiently. So that's been a great change, and I'm grateful to my staff over at urgent care for pulling that together and making that happen. We continue to screen everyone that enters any of our facilities upon entrance, and are continue to take other steps. That includes requiring masks in all areas of all of our buildings. We've spaced out chairs in our waiting rooms, just really tried to be very cognizant about how we prevent any spread of infection. We have our environmental services staff working hard to wipe down any high-touch areas. And to me, the important message there, one of the things that we've seen nationwide is that sometimes that fear of contracting COVID or being exposed to COVID has prevented people from attending to their primary health needs, their diabetes or their blood pressure, or coming to the emergency department when they're not feeling well. And so nationwide, we're concerned about a worsening of chronic health problems and non-COVID health problems brought on by people delaying care because of their concerns about COVID. So we just really want the community to know that we've put all the safety measures in place, that it's safe to come here to get care, to really encourage them to do that, to come to the ER when they need it, to reach out to their primary care provider. We do have telehealth visits for people that would rather do that from home, or our clinics are open for in-person visits as well. But we want to make sure that people know that it's important that they continue their routine health care and that we've done everything possible to make sure that they can do that safely and efficiently.
Val, are you further coordinating with area IHS facilities, Albuquerque, et cetera, to better manage how the patients are taken care?
You know, IHS has been really phenomenal partners through all of this. We've worked with them closely on many of the efforts. You know, the alternative care facility that we discussed earlier, I think, is a really great example of that. And they've really been phenomenal. We've had a lot of opportunity to share resources and share expertise. And so, yeah, I think that IHS and our neighbors over at GIMC, as well as IHS more broadly, have been just great partners through everything.
Just for the record, I think that it would be a good time to mention that especially in the early stages of getting settled into the COVID drive-through testing, we sent some bills out to patients in error, and so there might be still some people out there who are getting some copays dropped, or you know, some sort of billing dropped to them for that COVID drive-through testing. And if they do receive something, we encourage them to call us so that we can fix it, because that is not our intent in any way, shape, or form.
And what's the best number to call if there's a question on billing?
863-7188.
863-7188.
This is Mary, and from my perspective, I think it's important for people to know that what they see on social media or read about isn't always the complete truth. And so I think that the last several months has caused a lot of mistrust and dissension in the community around the care we provide, and I would encourage them, please, to come and experience it for themselves and know that that's not the care that we want to provide, and it is not the care that we do provide. And it's important for us to make sure everyone knows that we provide good care, and we our patients' safety and our staff safety is our first priority. And we recognize that it's going to take some time for those people who have been affected or who believe a lot of the stories possibly to trust us, and we're ready to take on the journey and show them about the great things that we do.
And Val,
yeah, I agree.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I think it's a really exciting time for the organization. We have a great group of providers, some who have been here for years and years, and some who are bringing some fantastic new energy to the organization. With Mary here, we have some excellent new leadership and new direction, and so I think it's really an exciting time and a good time for the organization. So I agree. I think that, again, our staff is incredible, our nursing staff, respiratory technicians, just throughout the hospital, we have just absolutely one of the best groups I've ever worked with. And so I think that with these new changes, the community is going to see a lot of exciting developments here.
Can you speak to current outlook for support from the McKinley County Commission, or for that matter, communications with the New Mexico Attorney General's office?
I've had a number of calls with the McKinley County offices. We also have, you know, three or four representatives on our board, and I think the relationship is good. It's moving in the right direction, and I don't foresee any issues. I think that we've been building the rapport. They know that if they want to understand something or clear something up, they can call me, and we're very transparent with them. Val, do you want to speak to the Attorney General's office? It's just regular communication. When questions arise, even with the State Auditor's office, if there's questions, they reach out to us and re-answer them. I don't know that there's anything in particular to speak to. It's just that, you know, it's building the bridge and and working together collaboratively.
And at this stage, how are things between the staff and, for instance, the Dr. Hammonds and the advisory board?
So I think that there's a real sense of, again, opportunity. There definitely is a lot of healing to be done in the organization as well, and a lot of coming together around those common goals and common priorities. But my sense is that, people really want the best for our patients, for our community, and that as we unite together around that, it's good to see those groups working collaboratively as a team.
And Val, what would you say is your conception of current morale among staff at RMCHCS?
I do get the sense that people feel like it's an important time and a time of opportunity. Mary talks a lot about transparency and accountability, and I think those are really good structural pieces for the work that needs to be done. People recognize that there's a lot of hard work to do, and I've seen providers step up to that in a really great way. I think we have some fantastic emerging leaders in our provider staff, nursing staff, really throughout the organization. I think people feel like this is an empowering time where they can identify problems, get the right team together, and move things in the right direction. So my overall sense is one of optimism and possibility.
Mary, assuming that there is a hiring process for a permanent CEO, are you considering putting your hat in the ring?
There is a formal process, and I know the board is waiting on a few members to return from vacation so that they can finalize what that looks like. And as of this past weekend, I did throw my hat into the ring as an official permanent candidate. I feel like, as Val said, it's a really important time for this organization in this community, and the staff and the providers, and everyone is feeling empowered, and they're feeling like they have a voice, and we want to hear their voices, and so that we can move forward in the right direction for what's best for the community and McKinley County as a whole. And I think it's a great opportunity for everyone to be able to speak their opinions and to be heard. And I feel like I would love to be a part of that.
Do you see that turnover may be less of a problem as we move along?
Turnover in healthcare is always a problem. It's as the baby boomers retire, it gets more difficult to recruit and backfill every one of those positions, from lab to nurses to RTs, all across the board. But I feel like the organization as a whole is going down the right path to be the community's choice employer, meaning this is the place where employees want to work. And I think that's going to help tremendously in relation to a recruitment focus that we're about to relaunch and get people to want to work here and stay here. And I think that's a longer term goal, but I see, like Val said earlier, it's a really positive time for our organization, and the light at the end of the tunnel is very bright.
The key to retention, as Mary said, is having that environment where people want to work and feel motivated to come and give their very best every day. And I think that we're working really hard to build that culture where people don't have any interest in looking for a job somewhere else, because they really feel like the work that they do here every day matters, it's important. And I think that we're in a really great position to do that. I mean, we have a fantastic patient population. There's certainly a need for the services that we provide, and we tend to draw service-minded individuals who want to make a difference in their communities and do work that they feel is really impactful and meaningful. And so I think that as we're able to continue to empower them to feel like they are able to reach their full potential and drive forward the positive change that they want to see, in my mind, that's the most critical piece of retaining that excellent talent that we have. My vision for RMCH, I want to see us be that regional center of excellence, right, where people want to come for their healthcare, where they know that they don't have to go to Albuquerque to see a particular specialist or feel like they're getting the top quality care. I think we have every ability to provide that for our community right here at home, and I'm really excited by the chance to work towards that and build on that vision and make sure that people do have that access, that they have the primary care that they need, that they have the specialty care that's appropriate for a community our size, and that, you know, we're able to bring in people from the outlying communities that can come to Gallup for care instead of having to go, again, to Albuquerque or Flagstaff or Phoenix. That's what I'm excited about, as well as the medical education piece that I spoke about earlier and being able to train the future healthcare leaders that can go on to serve our community for the long term.
And I would say Val hit it on the head. The only other thing that I would mention is I'd really like for our organization to focus on marketing and PR, but also just get some of the positive stories out there. We have the billboard on the edge of town that talks about, you know, one positive story, but that's one. There's many of them, and I really think that that's something that we really need to start focusing on the short term, so that when we get to the longer term strategy that Val was talking about, we can ensure success.
Rhonda, what are your particular tasks, given, you know, the history of public relations at RMCHCS, going back to Ina Burmeister, even more recently Cynthia Dyer, forward promoting the services, even fundraising efforts for the Western Health Foundation, for example?
Thank you for asking. Rhonda Ray and Schles and not Ditley and Schlo Irish Do Cherokee Bajate Kiani Ashanali Yat A this Najoniet with RMCH, the staff. We continue in the beauty way above us, below us, and around us in New Fort. And I want to also say, you know, we have to respect our elders, and they are the ones that we have to care for, and just make sure that you listen with this COVID, this virus that's going on. Protect them, protect your home, protect your children, your livestock. Everything is very precious right now, so live in the beauty way and always continue with your ceremonies and your blessings. And when you're sick, come to the hospital. It is safe here. They're taking good care of us. Najoniet. This is Rhonda Ray, the marketing director. I'm listening to Val and Mary. I love to hear their vision. You know, me being a newcomer, coming in, it's going to be a year. And, of course, marketing is about promoting and the awareness of culture, the history, the staff, the getting the information out in a positive, in a healthy way, because that's what, here now that I'm at the hospital, it's about safety, it's about patients. And so my mission is, as a marketing director, is to get that information from each of the departments and share that, you know, and of course doing it with social, you know, telemarketing, advertising, building the brand, looking at that through the customer's eyes as well. And it's got to be a very simple read, that it's something that when we get the patients here, it's like, I don't understand. We want them to understand the message, and we want to understand the vision, and we want to, as I said just a few minutes ago, is taking the marketing and the PR, the short term and the long term, these stories that have been, they're here, and we need to share them, because we do want to get more providers. We want to hire. You know, we want the training. We want the regional excellency, is like Valerie said, is getting people to come to our community. Me being of Navajo as well, as I want to bring those bridges together with the Navajo Nation, and because we are currently working with GIMC, We have cultural awareness around here to let them know, the Native people, Native Americans in this area, that this is a safe place to come. And you know me, you've known me for years, I'm very well known in the area of a lot of different areas, is that that trust has to be there. We want to bring that trust and that loyalty. So I feel I'm very excited about the changes, and you know, it's just helping people understand the changes and getting the positive information out there and doing it right. And I feel really good and excited about moving forward in the short term and the long term, because we do have wonderful stories. We have beautiful people that work here. There is so much that we have to give. And I really want to say to our community, change is good. And change is, of course, of loyalty and trust. And with the new things that are happening here, that we move forward. We don't let the past be the past. And let's do this together. Let's join it, because this is our hospital. And the same as GMINC, these two are our hospitals, that we need to connect them together. And I think with the Senate level legislation, the county, the city, the people, we can do that. And we have a beautiful place we live in. And we want outside regions to know, you know what, we want to go there. We can come there. They feel safe. So I believe I have a lot to offer, ladies.
You do. There is no doubt.
And I'm excited about it. You know me. Like I said, I move fast, and because I'm excited. And I love my job. I love what I do. I love working with these people. One of the questions was asked, and I was like, what would make you want to, or what would make you want to leave? And I said, you know, retirement, you know? I didn't just, you know, come and say, okay, I'm just picking a job. You know, I had to make a change in my life. And that change is because the message came from my creator, and it's there. And you read the mission statement, it does, you know, serving God, serving our community. And these people have a special talent. I'm learning so much every day, and it's so exciting. So I want to share that message, their message, and the stories that we have. That's what I'd like to say.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Rhonda's a perfect example of the many passionate employees that we have that really come to work every day and care about what they do. And that message is kind of lost in the last several months, and so that's what we've got to get back out there.
There are heroes throughout the region, throughout RMCHCS, and each of you is a hero in your own right. I've been speaking with Mary Bevere, interim CEO of RMCHCS, Val Wengler, the CMO, Chief Medical Officer of RMCHCS, and Rhonda Ray, Director of Marketing. Thank you so much, ladies, for taking some time to speak with me today.
Thank you. You take care.